Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments Podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Matt Hoffman. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Daniel Clausen, an associate professor of neurology in the Department of Cognitive and Behavioral Neurology and Movement Disorders at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Clausen discussed the recent work he and colleagues did in assessing the feasibility of conducting clinical trials using therapies that target single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs, in patients with Huntington disease.
Thanks for having me. So Huntington's disease, as you know, is an autosomal dominant mutation. So, you know, you have a 50% chance of having the gene if your mom or dad has it. And it's a fully penetrant disease, which means that at some time in your life, if you have the expanded CAG repeat, you will get Huntington's disease. So, since 1993, when the CAG repeat was discovered, there have been ongoing efforts to try and find ways to augment the expression of that expanded repeat. And we refer to that expanded repeat as mutant Huntington, and specifically the protein is mutant Huntington protein. So kind of what prompted this study was really around the concept of, can you selectively knock down mutant Huntington protein? And so the company that we worked with, Wave Life Sciences, was interested in developing a technology where they could selectively knock down mutant Huntington protein. So if you have one that's expanded repeat and one that's not expanded repeat, we refer to the non-expanded repeat as wild type. And so in order to do this, they developed technology that relies on SNPs, or single nucleotide polymorphisms. So those are kind of randomly dispersed the polymorphisms in the genetic code. And there have been data that shows that there are a certain SNP that's more commonly present in some people than others, and really the idea was, could they design a technology that would take advantage of that SNP being on the same allele as the mutant Huntington expansion, and from there design a therapy that would selectively reduce mutant Huntington protein expression but leave the wild type alone. So that's kind of the backstory to how we got to where this study that we recently published came to. And really the question was, really, is it feasible to find patients that have this SNP? There's actually two that we looked at. Is it feasible to find patients and find the SNP on the expanded repeat? And so to answer that question, we had to run a multi-center study and get a large number of Huntington's patients to agree to have their an investigation on whether or not A, the SNP was present, and B, was a SNP present on the expanded repeat. And so that's really where this study came from, and it really sets the stage for future investigations of allele specific knockdown of mutant Huntington.
And now I'm sure this method of sequencing has sort of been a long-awaited moment in terms of how it could potentially be utilized. So for you, you know, as someone as part of the Huntington community, you know, what have been the particular challenges or hurdles that you have had to be overcome to get to this point?
Yeah, so hard things are hard. And fortunately, as a neurologist, I don't have to sequence things. I just have to rely on really smart people to do it. So I can tell you that from what I understand, there is a lot of technological innovations through the sequencing and the long, and then the phasing assay, where we were looking for, you know, is there one of these two SNPs present, and are they on the same allele as the CAG repeat? And they're actually far, far away from the CAG repeat. You know, they're thousands of base pairs away. So I think the methodological advance that was taken to do this was quite impressive, and I think confirmed what we suspected, that about almost two-thirds of patients would have these SNPs, and that they would be present on the expanded allele.
And now, to speak to the findings of this assessment particularly, what do these data imply for potential therapeutic development for Huntington? And, you know, is there anything in the pipeline currently that might benefit from this sequencing method being feasible?
Well, yeah, I think so. The first comment I'd make is that this is an amazing time to be involved in Huntington's research. There are so many different avenues to where we're trying to make Huntington's disease a chronic disease like diabetes. And it's going to likely take, a multitude of different treatments to get there. But I think the treatment that seems to be furthest along in terms of testing in patients is this idea of antisense oligomers. So this is the idea that you're giving a patient an antisense oligomer, you're interrupting the transcription and translation process, that so you're reducing the mutant Huntington protein. And the hypothesis is if you do that, you're going to have a clinically meaningful effect on the progression of Huntington's disease. So that's kind of where we are right now with the most common the closest to getting an answer for this question. So right now there's essentially one ASO that takes down both the mutant and the wild type. That's being currently tested in a really large global phase 3 study. Just amazing what the Huntington's community has been able to do in getting that study going. And then for this, what we're talking about now, we're talking about bringing the mutant Huntington selectively down. And so we needed to do this study to show that we could A, find these patients, and B, show that we could enroll them in a dose-finding safety and tolerability study that's being currently conducted by WAVE. So I think what we're hoping to do, and at least what WAVE's hoping to do now, is to find the best dose so far. The good news is that there appears to be good safety and tolerability, and they're in the dose discovery phase, and then translate from that data into a large test for allele specific knockdown in a larger phase study. So that's kind of where we are. That's where we've set the stage for this. And I think ultimately for Huntington's disease, the fundamental question is it okay to knock down wild type, or is it not okay? And I think that that issue is kind of really at the forefront of these questions for knocking down protein expression, and that's where the science is going to lead us to getting an answer, hopefully sooner than later.
And now, to get more into the nitty-gritty, so to say, of the study, what should those in the Huntington treatment community take away from these findings about these SNPs in Huntington patients?
Well, I think the main takeaway is that that they're, just using these two SNPs, SNP1 and SNP2, if there is a potential therapy for modifying mutant Huntington expression in an allele-specific manner, almost two-thirds of patients would qualify based on our findings. I think what it means for me as a clinician is that we always talk about personalized medicine. We always think that that's really the wave of the future. You know, instead of just relying on, population-based studies, can I tailor a medicine to you, the individual? And I think you know, the way I'd read this study is that this is one attempt at looking at personalized medicine. And there may be other SNPs there that increase that number to a much higher than just 2/3. And that's kind of where we need to go. But I think from my perspective, what this showed is that you could test this hypothesis that at least 2/3 of patients would have this SNP on the same allele. You could feasibly do it. And we used the Huntington Study Group certified sites that were involved in this, and that we could do it quickly. So we got these patients recruited quite quickly, and we showed feasibility of this assay. So that's the main take home from this study, that if I was a patient reading it, that I would think about.
And now, sort of looking ahead, you know, going forward, are there any concrete plans or current plans to study this, or, you know, these or other SNPs that could exist as potential targets?
Yeah, I mean, you may want to talk to the folks at WAVE for more details on that. I think from my perspective, we're waiting to see when they will tell us if what dose they've found is the right dose. And I think my understanding is that those studies are still ongoing, and we're kind of excited to see where that goes. And I think ultimately, I think a lot of our patients are interested in seeing the next phase start. So I think we're all, you know, one of the challenges in science is that you feel like it takes forever to get things done, but it's just the nature of like clinical research, and we kind of want things now. I think we were all feeling that with the COVID issue. Let's just give us a vaccine. Come on, let's get it done. But it's one of those painful processes of scientific discovery that sometimes takes longer than we want. But I think we're getting closer, and I think we're going to be able to hopefully open a new avenue of treatment for patients once we finish this work.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a positive to see just sort of how much has come out around Huntington in recent years, just in terms of advancements and steps forward. So before I let you go, you know, is there anything else top of mind that you'd like to add or point out that you think deserves attention in this space?
I'm just really glad that that I have an opportunity to work with these Huntington's families. I think they're a unique. They're in a very unique set of stressors right now with the current COVID-19 pandemic and the societal stress. And so I'm very eager to see breakthrough treatments for this population. And it's a pleasure to work with my Huntington's study group colleagues in doing this kind of important work. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for listening to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. For more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.